Breaking today on Seculo, the ACLJ will represent South Dakota and Governor Noem against Planned Parenthood, and a judge in Texas has just rejected the DOJ move to block the Texas abortion law.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So two pieces of breaking news this morning, both involving the fight for the unborn, the fight for life, the protection of the unborn. First, out of South Dakota, you might have seen Governor Noem, if you follow her social media accounts, Facebook or Twitter, you might have seen her press release out. But the ACLJ is going to be representing Governor Noem and the state of South Dakota in their battle against Planned Parenthood. And in their law, different from Texas, this is a law that requires an informed consent level where you need to go, if you want to seek an abortion, you need to go to a third party for to get information about what the procedure is, what you're about to do, that not just Planned Parenthood is the one who provides the informed consent. It's another unique law, like we saw in Texas, and it ties right into that, because a Obama-appointed district court judge in Texas today just denied the DOJ's request for an expedited briefing schedule, did not enter an injunction yet, is not even going to hear the issue of an injunction until October 1st. So still, now you've had, first you had the Planned Parenthood challenge, then you had the DOJ challenge. Both so far have not been successful. What does that mean? That law in Texas, the six-week abortion ban, the heartbeat ban, that continues to be enforced.
Yeah, what's interesting in here, Judge Pittman, it said that before the court is the United States, that's the Department of Justice, opposed motion for expedited briefing. In other words, they wanted to expedite this to get an emergency order. And the court said no, that this case presents complex, important questions of law that merit a full opportunity for the parties to present their positions to the court. Accordingly, it is ordered, this is big, that the United States opposed motion for expedited briefing schedule is denied. Now, that's not a merits decision, understand that. But what it does tell you is that the court, at least at this point, Andy, is not looking at this law as if it is per se unconstitutional.
No, because, you know, a lot of time judges will signal ahead to you by their rulings, preliminary rulings, what they're intending to do. And if this was something that had to be expedited, he might have said it's granted and we're going to expedite the review. But he didn't do that, which sends a signal. I don't know what it is. You never know what a judge is going to do. But it sends a signal that gives us hope, and that's what we want.
Yeah, you know, CC Hiles with us, senior counsel for the ACLJ. You know, it's interesting to me, Planned Parenthood, no matter what is done with abortion, whether it's like we're dealing with in South Dakota in a major case, we're going to get into that a little bit later, where it's just counseling before you get an abortion to prevent coerced abortions. Even things like that, Planned Parenthood every single time objects.
Absolutely. These are just common sense protections, and they're constitutional. Like you said, in South Dakota, it is absolutely an informed consent bill, and yet Planned Parenthood is going to go after that. It's informed consent. Someone who's going to have a medical procedure needs to know what they're getting into. And once again, Planned Parenthood comes against that. And so every single time you have anything that's going to protect life, any kind of bill that's going to protect life, we can absolutely expect that Planned Parenthood is going to challenge it.
That's kind of their modus operandi. If there's a bill been passed that protects life, we challenge it.
They used to be able to kind of, I think, assume that they were going to find judges on both sides of the aisle, actually, that would just do their bidding. They'd file, and they'd get what they want.
This Fifth Circuit case, people need to remember, went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, the Supreme Court told Planned Parenthood no. Now the district court judge has told the Department of Justice no.
Right.
So you've had the DOJ intervene, and they were told no. They do have a hearing October 1st. Now we come back, we're going to get into the South Dakota case. ACLJ is representing South Dakota and Governor Noem. There was a press release that went out, but we want to get into the details there as well. If you want to talk to us on air, the number you call is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And as always, go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org for all the latest information. Share this broadcast with your friends and family, and we will be right back on Seculo.
Thank you. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To secular, one question we wanted to ask you, and again, this is only if you're willing to share. But would laws like this, would a law like in South Dakota that required you before you went to go get the abortion to go talk to somebody's third party, so it wasn't just
unrelated,
talking to Planned Parenthood about whether or not you should get an abortion? It's in their financial interest for you to get an abortion. They want you to do it because of the money they make. So to go to a third party and then make up your mind on your own, would that have changed potentially your decision to have or not have an abortion? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Also in Texas, something a little different. In Texas, when hearing the heartbeat, would hearing that heartbeat of the child have stopped you from buying into, and especially the 70s, 80s, even the 90s, this idea that this is just a cell, this is just tissue. And no big deal. Whereas most people aren't even going to the doctor to see if they're pregnant until about around the time the heartbeat is already there.
Exactly.
Because of the technology we have. So I'd love to hear from people if they think this would have changed their decision having these opportunities that were basically kind of mandated, that you've got to, one, you can't have an abortion past the heartbeat, and then second, that you've got to go talk to somebody. Not doesn't mean you can't have an abortion. It just means you have to go talk to somebody to walk you through what you're about to do.
Right. So let me talk for a moment about South Dakota, because it really is an honor for us, for the ACLJ, to be representing Governor Noem and the people of South Dakota in a critically important case. One is common sense case that will protect the well-being of the mother and the unborn child. Ultimately, that woman could still decide to have an abortion. There's nothing in it that prevents abortion. The bill just simply says, look, if you're about to have an abortion, before you the informed consent from Planned Parenthood is not enough, because they're in that business. We want you to go to a third party, unrelated, licensed, and talk with them. And they can't. It's not a faith-based thing. It is just going to talk to somebody about the consequences of abortion, what are the risks of abortion, you know, what are the options on abortion. Common sense on a medical procedure like this. This is the only medical procedure where a life is taken. I mean, I reiterate that over and over again. You cannot compare this. People say, well, if I go get a tonsillectomy, I don't have to go to a third party to get my tonsils out. But it's interesting. You can't just go to your general practitioner and get your tonsils out. You go to a specialist. They give you informed consent. But they're not ending another person's life. So the abortion procedure itself is unique among any procedure medical procedure. And Cece, the states are starting to get very creative on how to deal with this. They're not banning abortion here. They didn't ban it in Texas. What they're saying is we are going to put in common sense approaches on this issue.
Yes, and I think the informed consent approach is more than appropriate. You know, you mentioned getting your tonsils out, but you do get all of the information from the doctor about what could happen. What, you know, you might die. They will give you all of that information. When you go to Planned Parenthood, they do not give women that information. They do not give them the information where a pregnant woman can make an informed decision.
Well, this is what they say, Cece. They say they give informed consent. But their version of informed consent and what we're talking about as informed consent are two different things. They say they give informed consent.
Absolutely.
It's just not really informed.
That's exactly right. It's very limited of the information they give. They don't want to let you see the baby. They don't want to let you hear the heartbeat. They don't tell you about all the problems that can happen. And we've had women call in to our radio show and say, you know, they just ushered me through. They didn't tell me what was going to happen. And that's why you see so many people come out of abortions that are crying, because they realize what they have done after the fact. They need to have that realization before the fact. And that's what this informed consent law does.
You're exactly right.
You know, I ask people to call in and share with us if they're willing to, whether or not this would have changed their decision involving an abortion they may have had. And, you know, especially the time periods of 70s, 80s, 90s, when you're not getting information and you were just told this is no big deal. You can use it like birth control or whatever. Don't worry about it. This is wonderful. And then, you know, of course, the science wasn't there to show you what was in the womb or show the heartbeat.
Now the science is there.
Carolyn from Georgia is calling in to talk to us about that very issue. Carolyn, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi. This is so good. I thank you guys for what you're doing, first of all. I praise God for this knowledge and pray that it will help someone that's possibly considering an abortion. It's a life, and I am humbled to be able to speak with you guys about this. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling in. You said that if you had this information available, you would have made a different decision.
Absolutely.
This is why, you know, when I look at these laws, you got to kind of put on both hats. You got to put on your lawyer hat, and then you got to put on your policy hat. And the lawyer hat says, well, can I defend this law constitutionally? We think we can. That's why we're taking the case. And it's a big deal representing the state of South Dakota before the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. A number of our lawyers have been appointed special deputy attorney generals to do this. But on the other hand, Harry, there's a policy question. The policy question that I keep raising is that this is unique among any other procedure. This is the taking of a human life. So what is the harm constitutionally if you say, you know what, before you have this procedure where you take this human life, because you can, as Jordan said, you cannot argue it's not a human life anymore. They don't even argue that. I mean, that's when they're selling fetal parts. They're talking about body parts. Right. So look, we know what they're talking about here. But from a policy standpoint, aren't these new approaches common sense approaches to how to deal with this?
You're absolutely correct. They are common sense approaches, but that is precisely what Planned Parenthood opposes. They oppose the Texas law. Why? Because it's very, very unique. It allows citizens to bring a cause of action to protect human life. And what is Planned Parenthood all about? It is about actually shrinking human life throughout the world, not only in the United States, but throughout the globe. And so if you look at Planned Parenthood v. Casey, a seminal decision by the Supreme Court, what did the Supreme Court at its core decide? It decided that it was going to elevate or reify radical human autonomy. This is basically what Planned Parenthood is all about. They want to reify and elevate the moral Darwinism that supports eugenics, which then supports the shrinkage of human life. And there are many individuals who are connected with, for instance, the so-called global warming issue, who want to reduce the number of human lives that are on the globe. And so this all ties together. And so I think at the end of the day, the real issue is, why won't Democrats, who used to stand up for human life,
all sorts of human life,
the weakest among us, now they are standing with Planned Parenthood in its pursuit, its venal pursuit of profits.
Because if a Democratic candidate for president even mentions a possibility of a abortion restriction being constitutional, I would talk like Tulsi Gabbard and Andrew Yang. They were out the next week. That was it.
Yeah.
I
think there's an important point to make here. We're going to get to your phone calls, too. I know there's a lot of people on the phone lines, 1-800-684-3110. But I want to give you time to talk, and we've only got a couple of minutes here before our next break. But let me just say this to all the activists out there. I know a lot of you listening would consider yourself an activist. The pro-life movement has done an excellent job of getting pro-life leaders elected, where you can't rise through the ranks of the Republican Party if you are not pro-life. And if you're not willing, especially if you're a governor, so you've got the state ability to assign laws, work with the state legislature on pro-life legislation. That's why we're seeing it from across the country in different places, whether it's South Dakota or Texas or Mississippi with the case that will be up before the Supreme Court, all different things. One is like a 15-week out of Mississippi, a ban, and then you've got the 6-week issue out of Texas, and you also have, of course, in South Dakota, the informed consent issue of utilizing a third party. That's all happening. Those are three Republican governors, three states that were willing to take novel approaches to fight back against Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. Yep. And I don't like always making it so partisan, but that's just the way we are right now. I mean, we used to have
Democrats, Jordan, on our briefs to the Supreme Court.
There was a period of time.
It wasn't 15 or 20, but it was 5 or 10.
Yeah, there was a period of time. But I just want to say it's a big thank you to the activists out there who are in the states, who make those decisions in the primaries to elect these officials, that are electing really solid pro-life candidates to their state's highest office, who are willing to do and go to battle against Planned Parenthood or even the Department of Justice like we've seen here. So a lot to talk about. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. We have been appointed by Governor Noem to represent the state of South Dakota in their case against Planned Parenthood. It's going to be the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. So we'll have more information
for
you. Yes, likely all of these cases, probably. I mean, is where they go. Dobbs will be the first one up sometime later this fall or early in the next year.
We'll be following that case as well.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Too secular. We're going to take your phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. The question that we asked was, if these laws were in place, would you have made a different decision about abortion? You have to remember, when abortion was legalized by Roe versus Wade, it was marketed towards women. And by the way, religious communities were not opposed. The Catholic Church was.
Not anybody
else. But the Protestant churches were not engaging the issue, sometimes even supporting Planned Parenthood and these health clinics. An abortion. So we asked the question to our audience, would these kind of laws have potentially changed your decision about having an abortion back in that time period where there was no informed consent, there was no way to hear the heartbeat at 6 weeks, to see the development of the child at even 15 weeks, you wouldn't be able to have seen. But now what Planned Parenthood does, that technology exists. They don't want people to be able to utilize it.
That's exactly right.
So let's go to the phones. Christine in Texas on line one. Hey, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, many years ago, I was a rape victim and talked to my aunt. She took me to Planned Parenthood. I went in there looking for options. I really didn't want to murder a baby. I didn't really understand that it was murder, but that Never did they want to discuss any options with me at all. It was just, this child would destroy your life. It'll be a hindrance. You will never be able to accomplish anything in life. And that was it. I mean, there was nothing. And I'll never forget the day that the abortion took place to hear that baby sucked out of my body. And it wasn't until years later that I came to the saving grace of God that I realized it was murder.
Well, I really appreciate, Christine, you calling, because when we look at these cases, that's what we as a team have to look at. CC, me, Aunt Jordan, Annie, Harry, everybody, our old Walter Weber, everybody working on these cases. And what is really true is their version of informed consent in your case sounded like, you're going to be burdened by this child. They didn't give you the options on adoption. They didn't give you the option, I'm assuming. What South Dakota is trying to do, Andy, is simply say, before you have this procedure, which they allow to have, you're going to go to a third-party counselor licensed by the state and get counseling so you know what you're doing.
I don't see what's wrong with that at all. I don't understand what the objection is, except it's the knee-jerk reaction of Planned Parenthood to anything that smacks of preventing in any way impeding abortion. Here is a law, very ingenious and very well thought out, that says go to a third party. Don't go to any party who's advocating one way or the other. Get advice and counsel. Take a common sense approach. Have informed consent, because as you said earlier,
they could decide yes.
Abortion. Yes, you could decide ultimately I want to have it no matter what.
Right.
Thank you. But now I know. But as our producer said, and I think this is important, this is the agenda of the left. Follow the science, they say, but not when it deals with abortion.
How big, Ian, because you've been a state attorney general before, how big is it for the fact that the state of South Dakota has made us special deputy attorney general?
I mean, that's huge. I mean, I was a special assistant attorney general in Georgia for many, many years under Democratic and Republican administrations.
Yep.
But it's a big thing for the state to go out of its own wheelhouse and to choose outside attorneys to be special assistant AGs or deputy AGs to argue these cases on behalf of the state. It's a very great honor, it's a very great privilege, and it's a tribute to, I got to say it, it's a tribute to us that they picked us to do this.
Well, Jay, I said in a press release that on behalf of the ACLJ, and I'm going to say it again, Jordan, I am honored, we are honored to represent Governor Noem. We are honored to represent the people of South Dakota, and this common sense legislation is going to protect mothers and children. It doesn't mean CC, that they're not going to be able to get an abortion, because they could decide after hearing all the options and having real informed consent, they still want to proceed. They're allowed to do that under this law. But at least it will give a form of informed consent so we find out if these are coerced or not. Because oftentimes, it can be a coerced situation.
Yes. And as we heard, even during the break, you don't want to realize that you've killed a baby after the procedure. They need to realize what's going to happen before they have the procedure. And that just does not happen in Planned Parenthood. So we need informed consent, true informed consent. They need counseling. They need to know what is going to happen when I go in to have an abortion.
You know, I think that, again, I want to take more calls here. This is an interesting one, too, from Sarah in California. We talked about Planned Parenthood in the schools before. This has been an issue as well, that the Planned Parenthood counselors going into public schools. Hey, Sarah, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to ask a question. What can I do, or what can we as constituents do? Because I remember them coming into my high school.
Yeah.
And I know friends that did have abortions because of the information they gave them. And is there something that we can do to, like, put it on a ballot so that there could be, like, pregnancy crisis centers who come in, or people from, like, I know Live Action who has their videos and they inform people what the procedures yeah. are, so at least the students understand that it is a baby.
Yeah.
And it gives them more informed consent of what they're doing and participating in, and it's not just a blob inside of them.
You know, Sarah, I think that one of the things I've never quite understood, and I've litigated these cases for 40 years, if you let one side of the debate into the school, Harry, you let one side in, then under every Supreme Court case we argued for three decades, and we won most of them unanimous, 8-1, 9-0, you have to let the other side have their viewpoint. But it seems like Planned Parenthood's given the free pass into the schools, and everybody else gets hit with church-state separation. We can't allow the pro-life crisis pregnancy center in there. And in California, especially onerous, because Javier Becerra, who's now the head of HHS, was trying to make the crisis pregnancy centers say, here's where you go to get your abortion.
I think you're precisely correct. So we now live in an age where there is a governmental ministry of truth, in which only one side of the argument is allowed to present its perspective. You see this with respect to the Biden administration. You see this with respect to the critical race movement. You see this with respect to a lot of progressive, so-called progressive ideas. And you see this even with individuals who claim that they are following the science. So we live in an age where people say, follow the science with respect to climate change. But then with respect to certain other issues, they say, oh, it's just a matter of choice. So I think at the end of the day, one of the things that we have to fight very strongly in favor of is we need to fight in favor of the truth and allowing yes. individuals to make their own decision once they've been presented with the truth. And the truth means that people need to hear, at the end of the day, both sides.
That's exactly right. And they don't want that.
No, they don't. That's what they fight against. And they've in the past been successful, but they are starting to run into some new roadblocks because of the courageous governors and state legislators out there.
And
also the courts. There's been a shift in the courts. The Trump administration appointed a lot of new judges all the way up through to the Supreme Court, but a lot of district court, a lot of appellate court. And you're starting to see a different view, a different way of analyzing these restrictions or informed consent rules or heartbeat rules, all of that. It's coming to a different, people are looking at it differently.
You know who was my co-counsel? You'll remember this. My co-counsel in a case involving pro-life protests in the 1990s, John Roberts, now the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. He was my co-counsel in two cases at the Supreme Court. How about that? Both involving abortion.
Yep. We'll be right back on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
We get to your calls in just a minute. 1-800-684-3110. What we've asked is for people to call in and let us know, you know, if there were laws like this in place at the time maybe you had abortion, would it have been different if you had to hear the heartbeat? If, like the Texas law, or if a heartbeat was detected, or like the situation involving Mississippi's law, which had the Supreme Court, which is a little bit less severe, but it's about, you know, 15 to 20 weeks. Would that change your mind? Would it have helped to have a third party that wasn't Planned Parenthood advise you? That's all the different cases we're talking about here. Three. One out of Mississippi, one out of Texas, one out of South Dakota. In South Dakota, we are representing the state of South Dakota officially, and Governor Noem in their battle, in their case, which is an informed consent case. But I want to go right to the phones. If you have, and you want to share with us that story, and I know some won't want to, but if you do want to share your story with us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Kathy in New Jersey on line one. Hey, Kathy, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share my experience in the 70s. I had an abortion, and I went to Planned Parenthood, and they gave me a little bit of information. I feel it wasn't enough. They didn't convince me that what I was doing was wrong, and I went ahead. It was a terrible experience, and I spent the rest of my adult life in shame and regret, and I didn't know why. I hated myself, and it just took the grace of God to show me what I did wrong in years of, you know, sure, counselors and people just telling me, you know, that God forgave me.
Which he did.
I couldn't forgive myself.
But I want you to know something, Kathy. We get calls like this when we talk about this topic, and I always want to stop the broadcast right here and be very clear. This is not the condemnation of women. You were involved in a procedure. You were probably young, because that's typically who their patient is. And in the situation, you later received God's grace. But that God's grace doesn't just affect from the moment going forward. God's grace is God's grace. It goes all the way back. And I'm going to go to Colonel Smith in his role as priest, Smith, yeah, the Episcopal priest. For Kathy and for the thousands and maybe millions of people listening like Kathy right now, mm-hmm, God's grace is sufficient.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can't imagine a more difficult situation to be in. And the feelings, the remorse, the guilt, the feelings that go with this, like Kathy has expressed. But God is merciful. This is a very, very painful, difficult issue. And I have talked with other women like Kathy who look back with deep, deep regret on the choices they made. But as you said, Jay, this is not about minimizing women who find themselves in this situation of, right, an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy. It is not about condemnation, and God is merciful. The other thing, too, is that we've come a long way since 1973, and we know a lot more about science,
yep,
and the viability of a baby in the womb, as well as, you know, the whole moral issue, I think, has developed over the years. We have a whole generation of younger women coming up now who are very much against abortion because society has changed and we know more. And so I think we have to take that into account as well. It is a very serious issue. And I think the pro-abortion part of our society, they are concerned and they are alarmed because their science is abandoning them.
Yeah, they're losing the science battle.
As is the population.
And they're losing the populace, they're losing the science, and frankly, they're losing the courts.
Yeah.
And you look at the Texas one. They took that to Texas, to the Supreme Court on an emergency basis, and you know they thought they were going to carry the day.
It'd probably be easy.
And they lost.
And they lost, and then the DOJ took their side. The DOJ lost. So this is, again, it's a different time we live in. It's why we should be willing to fight the cases that in the past may have been too uphill. Like you would think, look at it and say, okay, we need to rewrite this code or rewrite the provision. Now, a lot more bold, because yes, you have a new courts and judges and justices analyzing all this. We come back, we're going to take more of your personal phone calls. I appreciate everybody for sharing this. I think it's really important for our audience to hear your stories about why this is real. Be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, I want to get right to your phone calls. People have been calling in to share their stories. And again, through this, we'll kind of explain all the different moving parts to these abortion cases. There's one that's going to be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court out of Mississippi, the Dobbs case.
And that case could well rewrite the whole Roe versus Wade.
It puts Roe versus Wade at issue. So that's the case that the left talks about, is the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
And they're worried about that because the reason they're worried about Dobbs now, CC, is because when the Texas case, they took up on an emergency stay.
A smaller period, which is 6 weeks.
Yeah, which is a 6 weeks issue. So it's a completely different case, in one sense an easier case. And they were expecting this giant relief from the Supreme Court. And what they got was a giant no. A majority of the court said, we're not going there. And we're going to let that law stay in place.
Right. That was a surprise to them, because typically, as we just talk about the abortion distortion, if any case comes to any court that deals with abortion, typically Planned Parenthood gets its way and, you know, pro-life laws are stopped before they can ever be implemented. And that hasn't happened in this Texas case.
Let me go to the phones. Paula in Missouri on line two. Hey, Paula, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you, Jay and Jordan and everyone, for standing up for the truth. I was 19 and lived in Illinois and didn't have information right out of high school. I knew that babies were babies, but I didn't understand the conception process and the growth in the womb. I'm now almost 60 years old. When I was 19, a boyfriend who lived in Arizona flew me out there to visit, and I got involved in a kind of a kidnap hostage situation, yep. And I was coerced into having an abortion. And I'll tell you that if there was an X-ray or ultrasound or something that could have proven that this child was alive at the time, It would have superseded everything else. That ultrasound becomes your advocate for a lot of these women. Because I was 19 and I didn't know, but I'm in there doing everything I can to try to get out of having this abortion. Sure. I couldn't get away from the man. So my story was even told in a Supreme Court case in Massachusetts, McCullen versus Coakley.
Oh, yeah.
For sidewalk buffer zones.
Yes.
Where there's women that want to hear and want to have help,
right,
but they can't get that help. So my
You filed an affidavit in that case, didn't you?
Correct.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, there you go. I know you are.
Yeah. Part of the amicus brief.
Right.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm on the table, and
let me just say one thing. Those cases ended up in that series of cases ended up in a series of cases that I argued at the Supreme Court on buffer zones, where we got the buffer zones declared unconstitutional as violation of free speech. But finish up, Paul.
Correct, and thank you for that. I'll tell you this, the clinics basically put you in a room, don't let you talk to anyone. They show you a model of a plastic uterus. They tell you that the baby is just cells. It's not really a baby until after 12 weeks, then it like magically becomes a baby. But when you don't know and you're under such duress, you don't know what to do. You don't know who to call, and in my situation, it was even more stressful. So you're in a situation where you have no advocate, you have no voice. Everything you're being told is lies. And then when you're on the table and you say, I don't want this, like I did, the doctor berates you, the nurse berates you, they hold you down, they basically force you to do what you don't want to do and guilt you into it. And then you live for decades with this trauma and despair and, you know, this I don't want to live type thing. And really for the women that have this, there really is forgiveness in the Lord.
Yes.
Absolute forgiveness. You get past it. You get to a point where you say, that was brokenness. That was not understanding. And the Lord forgives that. But then we have the responsibility to do something about it. And God gave me the option to tell the story.
You did. And it was very effective in court. And we appreciate, I remember this. So I think this was important. You raised two issues that are critically important here. One, the legality of what the informed consent is. Because let me tell you what they don't show you. The fetal models of the size of the child. They don't show you, they don't do the 3D or 4D imagery where I get to see my grandchildren at, how many weeks do they do that out now? 15, 14?
Yeah,
less. I mean, so their whole argument, Cece, that this is not a human life has fallen apart. And when that falls apart, you start losing at the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yes, yeah. And Planned Parenthood absolutely realizes that. And that's why you see them spinning the argument of, oh, this is access to, reproductive health. They don't talk about murdering a baby anymore because we all know that's what it is. And so Planned Parenthood goes crazy if you have any of these laws like informed consent that will give women, pregnant women, the opportunity to realize what they're actually doing. They're murdering a baby. Planned Parenthood does not want a woman to know that.
There are medical procedures that people have that require lots of consent and counseling. I mean, lots of consent, specialists. I mean, that's just normal medical procedure. Mm-hmm. And in those cases, they're not taking a human life. In this case, they are taking a human life, which is the reason why we are thrilled to be representing Governor Noem and the people of South Dakota. Your ACLJ appointed as special deputy attorney generals by the attorney general there. We appreciate that. We want to fight this case. We're going to file in all these cases as we always do. But there is forgiveness, and I don't want to forget the forgiveness.
Absolutely. This is a moral issue. It's a religious, spiritual issue as well as a medical issue. And yet God's grace, covers all of this. And people like Paula and Kathy, their stories are very touching. But this also illustrates for us, Jay, why Planned Parenthood does not want these women to have information. They try to keep information from women like this. And this is the reason why, because this is a moral issue. It is life. I can't believe in our society that there is even a debate about whether or not it is okay to kill an innocent human being. And that's what this debate comes down to.
It is. And at the latest part of pregnancy, our European Center for Law and Justice, Andy, filed a brief at the Supreme Court of the United States because the laws here are way more aggressive in allowing abortion than in Europe.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The procedures that we employ in the United States to allow killing of a child, which is what this is, are much more aggressive, much more liberal, much more open than there is in Europe. And we in the European Center of Law and Justice, that, as you know, I'm very much involved with, have even filed in American courts to advocate the position that the Europeans are taking, and the French in particular, let me just say, with respect to this killing.
The policy issue has had a shift, Harry, because the medical science has shifted.
Absolutely. So it's important to keep in mind that for virtually every serious medical procedure humans undergo, their physician allows them to do what? To get a second opinion. And to some extent, if you look at the South Dakota law, that is allowing individuals to get a second opinion. And now we have ultrasound and we have medical devices that allow us to detect the heartbeat, and you raised a very important issue, Jay, with respect to what European countries are doing. Canada, for instance, which on many issues is far more liberal than the United States, is generally much more restrictive, yep, by and large, on the abortion issue than the United States. So it's very, very imperative for listeners to recognize that the United States is one of the most radical countries, and I point this out with respect to specific states, in the world in terms of allowing abortion virtually up to the moment of birth.
Emma's calling from Virginia on line 5. Hi, Emma. Welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, thank you. Sure. I actually am coming from a different perspective.
Okay.
So my fiance, the person that I was with for about 3 or 4 years, when we got engaged, that was when I told him that I was pregnant. And I don't think it's very like crazy to assume that sex leads to pregnancy. However, being raised in the Northern Virginia school system, we have a lot of access to good education that is not biased. And so I knew that sex led to pregnancy. After we got engaged, that was when he became very, very abusive, physically and mentally.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have access to a legal abortion, I would still be stuck in that situation with a kid and with a person that I could not be with.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but let me be clear on these laws. The law doesn't stop you from having an abortion in South Dakota.
No, in fact, it's actually they're there to protect people like you,
yes,
Emma, both ways. So if you were someone who
was abused,
was being sex trafficked or abused, and the fiance wanted you to terminate the child and you didn't want to, the law will protect you. If you were someone who's being sex trafficked and they were trying to force abortions on you to continue the sex trafficking, these laws help protect you. Flip side, these laws aren't outlawing abortion. So if you felt like you were going to go in with your informed consent and say, but this is the reason why I can't do this, well, in South Dakota, then they would say, okay, and you can move along. I'm not saying I agree with the position. I think when you said, Emma, I didn't want to be stuck with that kid, to me, that speaks to exactly that you know what you're doing when it's an abortion procedure. Because you said you didn't want to be stuck with a kid.
Right.
That's a human being. And you knew with the consequences of having sex is that you could become pregnant. So I think right there, you kind of, to me,
Needed counseling. Right.
But also put forward a pro-life message without knowing it. Because you just acknowledged that you didn't want to be stuck with that kid. And there's other ways to have that child and not have to raise it.
Yeah.
In America. That's why we have adoption agencies as well that they would have been able to counsel you about.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Folks, we are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. Just amazing stories. And I thank everyone who's called in to share those stories. Those aren't easy to share with us. And if you have time to call in now, we'll get to those in just a minute. So we've got three cases kind of I talk about right now in the abortion world that are coming to light, getting attention. One is the case that the court will hear, which is a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade out of Mississippi, the Dobbs case. That was already going to be heard on the merits at the Supreme Court. In Texas,
there, we filed a brief on that one.
Yes. In Texas, there is the heartbeat. It's basically a six-week abortion ban. And that has survived now Planned Parenthood's challenge for an injunction and the Department of Justice challenge seeking an injunction and expedited briefing, so quicker briefing. And a Democrat-appointed judge by Obama in Texas said no to that. Now, we don't know where that will go on the merits, but that's where that is. And then South Dakota, Dad, we've been appointed and asked to represent, and we said yes, to the governor of South Dakota.
We're representing the state and the governor.
Governor Noem, who I know is very popular with listeners, and the state of South Dakota. Their law is about informed consent and making sure it's not just Planned Parenthood who gets to explain the procedure that's about to happen.
That's exactly right. And we've been appointed by the Attorney General as special deputy attorney generals for this case that we'll take next to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. And as Andy said earlier, and this is, let me say a thank you to our donors, because this is important to make clear. We're not charging the state of South Dakota a dollar, not a nickel. They're not going to pay for a printed brief. They're not going to pay for an airline ticket. They're going to pay for nothing. So the taxpayers of South Dakota get the ACLJ and a team of lawyers that have represented dozens of cases before the Supreme Court of the United States, have represented the president of the United, lawyers with the ACLJ, affiliated with the ACLJ, including me, have represented the president of the United States, have argued abortion cases at the Supreme Court for three decades, and we're not charging, which we don't charge, a nickel to South Dakota. I saw some of the trolls on Twitter saying the Sekulow's firm's going to get a lot of money for this. No, it's because of your generosity at the ACLJ that we're able to do this. So I want to thank, you know who I want to thank? You, our listeners, viewers, and members. Because of you, we can do the case for South Dakota all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary, and which is probably where it's going to go, because of you, and not charge the people of South Dakota a dollar. Nothing comes out of their state deposit for us. Not an airline ticket to South Dakota. Nothing. So thank you, ACLJ members. I want to go to Cece, then we'll go to the phones. But Cece, I think it's important for people to understand, because you've been spearheading a lot of our efforts in this area. These regulations, these common sense regulations, like when you had crisis pregnancy centers not wanting to say, here's where you go to get your abortion, which the state of California mandated, these are really important works.
Absolutely. And ultrasounds, that's another thing that Planned Parenthood, the laws that they fight. If a state says you have to see an ultrasound, they do not want a woman to see that. They want crisis pregnancy centers to refer for abortion, but they don't want to give any information about that abortion at all. And they'll fight it tooth and nail. Every single law that they think might be pro-life, they will fight it.
All right, let's go right to the phones. And we see, but they're used to filing their lawsuits, filing their their motions asking for injunctions and to stay these laws and winning. That's been the norm for most abortion laws. And then you have to go fight it out. The law's not in effect. Here, it's switched. Let's go to Julie in Florida on line one. Hey, Julie, welcome to Sekulow. You're on the air.
Hey, Julie.
Hello. Thank you. I watch you every single day. Thank you.
Thanks.
Just a statement, really. It was in 1986. I was young, had no guidance, nobody to go to. None of this existed. And regretfully did the wrong thing. And to this day, I have not been able to have children because of it. So I would say I am so for anything anybody can do to guide these young women, because I had none of that. And just, I will regret it and take it to my grave.
Well, I want Chaplain Smith to address this in a moment, but let me just say this. That's why we're fighting for real informed consent in South Dakota. It's a different kind of informed consent. It's not relying on the abortionist who's in the business of abortion. But this is a medical procedure where, like I said, you're taking a human life. At the end of the day, whether the person goes through with it or not, it's taking a human life. Then there are a series of medical procedures that you have to get counseling before you have the medical procedure. I mean, it's just the way it is. Or go to a specialist or whatever it might be. And these are common sense approaches, and those don't involve another human life. So I appreciate what you're saying, but I do want to reiterate here. We started this broadcast out a long time ago on Christian radio only. Now we're on a lot of conservative talk and all these other media platforms. But we never will forget that ultimately, and I want to be very clear to you, Julie, and to the others that called, that God's grace is sufficient. I'm going to go over to our colonel, who's a chaplain and a priest and a pastor. I'm going to let him talk to you, but I'm telling you, don't forget about God's grace in all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate Julie's call and her candor. But, you know, whatever the situation is in our life, whatever moral failing we've had, whatever sin we've committed, God not only releases us from the act that we did, but God releases us from the guilt. And I would encourage Julie to realize you do not, as she said, have to take this guilt with you to your grave. You've learned from that. God's grace is magnificent, and God releases us from guilt. I will say one other quick thing before we go, though, Jay. You know, we live in a country where so many people claim to be woke, and we have regret for societal actions in the past. We repent for the deeds of our ancestors. I think 100 years from now, less than that probably, people will look back on this whole abortion issue, and there will be real shock and horror of what we've done for the last 40 years.
And that this happened in the United States of America. Because now when you see those ultrasounds or the imaging that is done, and that's why I go back to Harry really quickly, it really does change the debate.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that ultrasound does is it completes informed consent.
Exactly.
Because people now have more information and they realize that a life is at stake.
I want to end this broadcast with understanding that your American Center for Law and Justice has been appointed special deputy attorney generals for the state of South Dakota for this pro-life case, this abortion case, that is going to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. Andy, this is a big deal.
That is extremely high honor. Usually states handle these things in-house. They handle it through their attorney general's office, but the attorney general of the
and
state
the
of South Dakota has appointed the ACLJ and its attorneys to represent the governor and the state in this important case that is pending in the Eighth Circuit, or soon will be, or is pending in the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, and will probably most likely go to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Folks, let me encourage you, go to aclj.org. You will find more information about our work, especially when it comes to life. At aclj.org, you'll find more information, too, coming soon about the case in South Dakota. Also, next week, because I think there's going to be more indictments coming down in the Durham investigation. It's still ongoing. And a Clinton attorney has just been indicted by the grand jury for false statements, because he said he wasn't working there, wasn't providing this info on behalf of the Clinton campaign. But there's expected more indictments to come down. So we'll see if those come down today and over the weekend. We can certainly discuss that next week as well. General Milley saying everything he said was fine, but he'll wait to get into the details for that hearing on September 28th. We'll see if he makes it to that. So all those issues we're still watching very carefully on the broadcast and at the ACLJ. Of course, aclj.org. We'll talk to you next time.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.